What's going on, everybody? This is comedian James Young. You have just tuned in to Real Laughs on 104.1. Thank you guys for doing that. It is Monday, August 31st. That's right, people. We're about to be in September. Can't believe we've gotten through this many months with COVID. We've made it. That's right. We're trying our best. It's going to be a great show tonight. I am joined by a collection of comedians tonight. That's right. I got my man, Mike Herlihy, the writer of The Lowdown. Mike, how are you feeling today, brother?
It's been a good 6 months or so off, but I'm ready to get back in the studio, man. I need to start doing
something.
I'm with you. Yeah,
there's only so many times that you can masturbate at home with no pants on before you're like, I got to get up and do something.
No, I'm still going for the record on that.
I think the record's like 70.
No, if you hit amateurs.
70 in 24 hours, bro. You probably going to die.
70?
Hit 70.
Ken.
What?
Bro, at some
not
point,
for me,
it's powder.
Not for me. Okay. No, not for me. I'm saying I think the record is. I just want Mike to hit it, and then he going to die the next day. Yo, but he going to be on the Guinness Book.
First off, what nasty MF-er was doing that? And I want to know, who was counting?
I don't know. I can't Google that because I'm not on my internet. I don't want to Google that on somebody else's internet, bro.
What he died of? Dehydration. That sounds horrible. He was smiling.
That other voice that you're hearing is none other than the godfather of Orlando comedy, Mr. Ken Miller. Ken, how you doing, brother?
I'm good. As the godfather, I'm actually recording at a comedy club tonight. I'm at the Orlando Improv tonight. So I'm actually
Shout
recording
out to Orlando Improv. Nice, man. You know, actually,
I almost skipped out on recording tonight to go check out the show at the Improv. And then I see you pop up and I'm like, what's that wall behind Ken? I'm like, right? That's what I should have done.
Hey, bro, I gotta say, yeah, Mike, we could have set up and recorded here. You know, they got the little room here, and I was late because the GM here, we love her to death. We love Krista. Couldn't remember the password. So we had to get like 8 people to come here to finally give us the password. So it took us forever. So if you have the Improv, the password is Mike James Ken, the best comics in Orlando! So there you go.
Let them know.
But now I'm here this weekend. DC Young Fly's here. He's an Instagram guy that got famous through Instagram. But he's one of those few internet comedians that I actually think that's funny.
Like, yeah, he brings the
really,
heat.
I was really impressed by it. He's been doing comedy 6 years. And I'm really impressed by I told him in the green room. I said, dude, I was really impressed by your set, man. Like, you know, and this coming from an old guy who don't, you know, that hates the internet.
Yeah.
You know, I'm that.
Exactly.
You famous on the internet, do this.
Right?
You know, I actually told him, I said, dude, I'm really impressed, man. You made me laugh, kid. So,
was he like, thanks, boomer, and just walked away?
No. He called me OG because Dwayne, if you guys don't know, Dwayne Williams, young comic out of Orlando, Dwayne called me OG. So DC Youngfly was calling me OG all weekend. He was
that's nice,
OG. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he got respect for the game, man. But Dwayne's here hosting this weekend, local comic. He been doing good. You know, he Ken Miller Jr.
Gotcha. Ken Miller Light.
Oh, he's such a copycat. Everything I do. Only thing different is he wears skinny pants, B.
We can't do that.
Tight.
Yeah,
we can't
do that.
I hear he proposed to your wife right after you did. He's just like
you. He's like, Dwayne, when you get married to a girl named LaShawn? Like, bro, that's what I do. He's such a copycat. Now he's driving a Corolla and got 2.5 kids. Like, look, dog.
2.5. He kidnapped the kids so he could catch it.
Dude, doing everything I'm doing. He black all of a sudden. Like, when you turn
that's
black?
Funny.
He wasn't even
that
black, bro.
Funny.
What up?
That's so funny. I actually thought of you this weekend, Ken, because I was at one of your favorite spots, bro. I was at Porky's Comedy Club in St. Cloud.
And I was going to come see you, but because of the madness here, I came here, and I didn't want to drive all the way to Kissimmee.
Oh, yeah, that's a long trip. I just want to say they do it. They're like the Improv. They do everything right. Everybody comes in.
It's such an amazing club, dude. Yes, it is. It's such an amazing club. You know, it's a good thing that the owner used to be a comic, and the booker used to be a comic.
Yep.
And the food is great. It's not your typical comedy club food with just chicken wings and french fries. You can actually get some good barbecue. You know what I'm saying?
Barbecue.
And the show is great. You know what I mean? Like, I love Porky's, man. I enjoy doing Porky's, man. So how was it, man? How was everybody?
Amazing, man. The same people who come out every week to support him came out. His mom and dad were there. They came out to see me, man.
Yeah. beautiful people, bro. I mean, really, I mean, people support dudes like that because he takes care of his community. Like, if somebody needs something, they come to Vinny. So, shout out to Porkins, man. A great club. And I hate to bring us down in the beginning of the show on Monday, but I'd be remiss if I didn't say something because I am a big comic book geek. I just want to say prayers go out to the family of Chadwick Boseman. Actor, you know him from Black Panther, you know him from The Five Bloods, you know him from 21 Bridges. I mean, just a great actor.
Jackie,
you know,
Robinson,
James Brown. Yeah. Just want to say he passed a couple days ago, and just want to send our prayers and love out to his family. Well accomplished guy. You know, guys, yeah, I went and saw Black Panther 5 times in the movie theater. So I was definitely a fan of his. So I just wanted to say,
I'm with you, James. I might have saw it like five or 6 times in the theater, man. Yeah. You know, and me and Dwayne was arguing the other night because I thought it was the highest grossing Marvel film, and it's actually number 5. But it's behind all the Avengers.
All the Avengers.
But it's behind all the Avengers films.
But it's in the $1 billion club, and that's the crazy
part. It's in the $1 billion club, yeah.
It's oh my gosh. So he did pass, so I just want to tell people out there, I mean, I want to make sure I get this right. It was colon cancer, right?
Colon cancer, yeah.
Yeah. So,
and he had been fighting it for 4 years.
That's right.
You know, it was pictures of him, videos of him popping up. He was like, you know, had a cane and stuff. Yeah. And everybody was like, nah, he's working on a role. Because you know how actors, if they're met the actor, they'll change their appearance and everything. But he had fought it for 4 years, and nobody knew. Like,
they kept it under wraps.
Nobody, he ain't bitch about it. He ain't complain.
No, he didn't.
He just was out. He was out here being Black Panther, bro.
It was
4 years out here being Black Panther, man. And I get a cold, and I can't get out the bed.
Yeah, exactly, bro. Like, Ken, like, James, I got that COVID. No,
James,
you don't.
I can't go nowhere. I got bit by a mosquito today. I can't even hang out today, bro. This mosquito, you know, getting on my nerves, bro.
You know, the doctor talking about amputee. You know, he's that bad.
My arm off, bro. Like, come on, man.
You know what's funny about it? It's now all the stories are coming out from everybody who knew him real close about what type of person he was. And, you know, we always saw him as Black Panther and heard nice stories from we know, you know, Khalil, who has been a stuntman and a body double for him in a couple of movies.
We've had
him
on the show,
So, and he's always said he's nothing but great. And you hear that a lot of times, like, oh, these actors are great. These actors are nice. But so many stories have come about now about all the stuff that he's actually done over the years behind the scenes, just being a good person and everything else. I guess one of his first roles was he got offered to be on a soap opera, and they wanted him to play the role of basically this, you know, this urban kid who was adopted by rich white parents. And, you know, that was going to be conflict there because they were trying to take care of him, but he's from the streets and stuff. And it was his first real role. And he only did like 1 week of it before he was fired. And the reason he was fired or decided to leave was because he didn't like the way they were portraying him as a Black youth. He's like, I don't want to be part of it. And he said the conflict was, this is my first major gig. I'm a week in. Do I just sit here and take it and do different things down the road? And then he's like, and I realized that this isn't how I want to use my acting ability to keep this stereotype going out there. And you know who stepped in and took that role after the week? Michael B. Jordan. So that was back in it wasn't a movie, it was a soap opera series. Find out the name real quick.
It wasn't The Wire, right?
Look that up, Mike. I'm curious to know because I'm curious.
Yeah, me
to know.
Too. I definitely
Which
am.
Is crazy because Mike, it's so funny you tell that story because Denzel. Because I just saw a story about Denzel.
I saw that story, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Denzel has a story where his first role was supposed to be, like, him working in, like, a watermelon patch. It was something so... And Denzel was like, I don't want this to be my first role as an actor. Like, I'm good. And so it's so funny. But the Denzel story is so great because, you know, back in the day, a lot of older black actors and actresses would pay the tuition for younger black actors and actresses. And Denzel paid for Chadwick Boseman. And then Chadwick tells a story and Denzel was like, I just wanted my money back.
Denzel, I saw this money you made.
My money back. Yeah. He said, yo, Black Panther good, but I want my money.
Money back. Amen.
The,
The soap opera was All My Children. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Bozeman had been on for like a week and started talking to producers about where he saw the role going, and they just decided to, you know, cut ties with him because they felt like he was going to be a problem or speaking up. And they got Michael B. Jordan in there. And the funny thing is, years later, I guess Michael B. Jordan hadn't known about this until they were working on Black Panther together. He knew he had had the role, but he didn't know why he left. And Michael B. Jordan said that because of everything Chadwick had spoke up about when he took on the role, they had actually, they let Bozeman go, but then they were also changing the character to suit exactly kind of more along the lines of what Bozeman had been preaching, because they're like, well, maybe if this guy's so upset about it, maybe we need to relook at this.
Yeah,
so I would have loved what he did made it better for Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah. I would have loved to have been a fly in the room when they were trying to talk to Chadwick to get him to do the black stuff. They're like, hey, Chadwick, just want to let you know, buddy, big fan. You're very well spoken. And that's not a compliment for this role. could you say all, no, don't say all my children. Could you say all maturins? Could you say all that?
Where my kids at?
Yeah, where my kids at?
That's the weird thing, too, because it wasn't like, that was his first major acting thing. So it wasn't like he had that authority or power to actually ask for anything, you know? So just the type of person you got to be like, is this going to ruin all my future in acting if I can get out this role? And just go in there and be like, yeah, I'm not playing it like this.
Yeah. And good for him, man. Good for him, man. Yeah,
absolutely.
But a lot of young actors, they want to be not even black, just actors, period, and actresses, period. They pick a role where they like sassy or they are prostitute or drug dealer, you know, something that you don't have to play.
Yeah, we can be more than drug dealers.
You can be more than drug dealers.
Or from the hood. Yeah.
So what was Chadwick's first big role? What was his first big role? Was it James Brown?
No, I thought it was 45 came out before that. Not 45. 42? 42 came out before that, I thought.
Was it?
Yeah.
You might be right. I used to make fun of him, and like I said, rest in peace. I used to make fun of him. I'm like, man, he gonna play everybody. Like Chadwick gonna play Prince.
he played
every character, bro.
Bro, if God would have let him live 20 more years, he would have played himself in a movie. Like he would have done the Chadwick Boseman.
Chadwick Boseman in the Chadwick Boseman movie. Wakanda forever.
Yeah, man. So definitely just want to pay a little homage to him, man. To his family.
Yeah, man.
Our thoughts and prayers go out to you, man. We lost a great talent.
And shout out to, man, all the basketball fans you've listened. Cliff Robinson that played for the Portland Trailblazers passed away the next day. He played for the Portland Trailblazers in the early years of the 90s when they was battling with Jordan, with Clyde Drexler. But man, 2020 been their year. 2020 been that year, bro. It's
crazy.
Kobe went this year. There's Chadwick went this year. So who you guys think, unless you want to take it to the next segment, because I know we about up. We need to talk about who's going to play Black Panther now.
Bro, you know, like, whoever it is, they're going to really have to think about this. I'm glad you brought it up. Because
really
whoever
it
is,
it, I already got
everybody's watching. Everybody
in mind. I say we talk about that next segment, James. You cool with us? It's your show.
I am very cool with that, man. I love comic books. I got my
idea who I think should play.
Okay. All right. I like that a lot. I like it a lot, man. So, folks, stay tuned right here on Real Laughs on 104.1. When we get back, like Ken said, we're going to be talking about who we would pick to play the next Black Panther. God rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman. Y'all don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. You are still rocking with Real Laughs on 104.1. I'm your host this evening, Mr. James John. I'm joining in our virtual studio with Mr. Mike Herlihy, Ken Miller, the gangster, of course. Now, right before the break, we were talking about Black Panther because Chadwick Boseman has passed away, and he was definitely known as Black Panther, and he did a great job on that movie. So now we want to speculate. We want to kind of guess, who are they going to get? Who is Marvel going to cast that's going to be able to live up to the job that Chadwick Boseman did? It's going to be a tough cast because it's going to be one of those things, no matter who they pick, people are going to complain. No matter what.
I got somebody for you.
Are y'all okay. ready for this? No, hold on. Hear me out. Hear me out. Oh. Hear me out.
This is gonna be good. This is gonna be good. Don't you say Beyonce.
Preacher Lawson, baby. Woo! Yeah. My boy Preacher. He got muscles. He got the beard. All that. Preacher Lawson, the next Black Panther.
Okay, I'm trying to picture this. Preacher is a very attractive young Black man.
He's short. He's short. Preacher Lawson, but I don't know if Preacher can do African, though.
I'm just thinking about Preacher's voice. Hey, hold on. I got an accident in the elephant. I rolled around seven times. I was like,
I just did that for the sound bite, Mike. I just want this clip of the video. I'm gonna send it to Preacher. Be like, hey, so I looked it up. This is my real thing. The kid's name is Stephen James. He was in the movie of If Bill Street Could Talk. Right now he's in a movie on Quibi called Free Rayshon. And I'm gonna see if y'all can put him up. I think this the kid.
I know who you're talking about.
I think he could be the next Black Panther. He's 6 feet two. He's got a little definition. He look a little African. He from Canada though. Y'all don't trust Canadians because they baking his ham. he played Jesse Owens. He's the guy to play Jesse Owens.
Yes, but it's just funny. You're like, I don't trust Canadians because they're baking ham.
They baking his ham. It's ham to us. That's my pick. That's my pick for Black Panther.
I saw people already starting to discuss this, and the first thing that hit me is like, dude, it's not even 24 hours yet. Can we just, you know.
True, very true, Michael.
Can
very
we not
true.
Worry about an actor very taking, true. Like, I understand there's millions of dollars locked up in a franchise and everything else.
No, billions, bro.
But can we just take a minute and understand that, you know, the guy was more than one role and just, like, let it breathe for a second? But you can't get away from it, man. So the internet's already got, like, buzz going and everything else. I think there's a petition already out there that they want to see Shuri, his sister in Black Panther.
Oh, I have seen that. Yeah, they're thinking that she'll take over.
They want to.
Okay, that's fine. But in the Marvel universe, what they're going with for
that's what they're saying. They want to in the Marvel universe since Chadwick died. There's people saying they want to kill off in the Marvel universe T'Challa, just like have him be gone and she rises up. Then there was another person saying that since we didn't technically see Killmonger actually die,
Dwayne,
they want to see him have redemption and come back.
Yeah, Dwayne has been saying that. A friend of mine, Angel, been saying that too. I gotta tell you,
looking at how strongly people feel about Chadwick, I gotta tell you, I think the only way you can really do it is number one, I think if you offered Michael B. Jordan the role, he probably out of respect would turn it down.
He would either turn it down or say,
I'm going to do my best to, you know, Chadwick and I were close. I'm going to do my best to show him honor in this. But I think Shuri's the way to go, especially when there's a trend of making like Thor's becoming a woman. You know,
they're about to do She-Hulk.
Iron Man in the comic became a woman. I think that's a natural trend you could go with. I don't know what's going to happen with the franchise. And to tell you the truth, at the moment, I really don't. I know it sucks to say as a comic book fan and movie fan, but I'm like, at this moment, it's like the last thing I care about.
And I'm a new comic book fan. I'm new to this. I kind of came into it with when Iron Man came on and the Marvel Universe started, you know, kind of coming up. And, you know, when I got an issue, I got a friend named Scooter that I had. Scooter, what does this mean? Or I hit James of James. Why did this happen? Because I don't know it like that. Mm-hmm. But for the casual fan, they're not going to understand that when his sister takes over. They're looking for another guy to come in to be Black
Panther. They want another guy.
You know what I'm saying?
People take it so seriously.
They do. They really do. Especially people who are casual fans. Yep. But the people who are like comic book fans, they are like, you know.
Bro, there's some Black people.
I wanted the next Iron Man to be T'Challa's sister. Because the member Iron Girl was a Black chick.
Yes, she was.
I always thought it was going to be T'Challa's sister. Mm-hmm. I thought she was going to take over and be Iron Girl. I really did. Because she got the hair, she got the everything that could make her be, and she's smart, like Iron Man. Like I always figured she would be that next one. But James, who you think would be a good Iron Man? I mean, Black Panther.
This is gonna sound crazy, but he was actually talked about when they were thinking about making this movie like 8 years ago, before, you know, all the Marvel buzz and everything happened great with all the films. But Morris Chestnut was originally thought of to play Black Panther. Now, I know a lot of people probably don't know that name, but Morris is in great shape. He's like 6'3".
He in good shape. Yeah, he in good. Yeah, Morris Chestnut in good shape. But
yeah,
I owe Morris Chestnut though.
Bro, but look, he probably 88 now. But he looks 28.
21 years old. Yeah,
he looks. But he look amazing.
He's 21 years old and he looks better than Hurley. And Hurley, he's 31.
That ain't right. But here's the thing, though. Listen to me, Ken. In this political climate, people care so much about what's going on with Black people. Mm-hmm. If Marvel mishandles them killing T'Challa, there's gonna be a BLM riot.
The thing about Black Panther, man, people got dressed up for Black. People get dressed up for certain movies. People get dressed up for Star Wars.
We didn't really do that ever. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, ever. People get dressed up for Star Wars. People get dressed up for Harry Potter. What's other movies people get dressed up for? Star Wars, Harry Potter.
Potter.
They're like the only two movies I know people really get dressed
up for. My Little Pony.
We got dressed up. We were in there like we were at what's coming to America? What's the country for coming to America?
Zamunda.
Zamunda. You know what I'm saying? Black Panther means a lot to Black folk. Hollywood can't F this up. Mike, I almost cussed, but I caught myself.
There you go. Good job.
Hollywood can't F this up, man. You have to get and I agree, his sister would be dope for the movement.
I would go with that.
But for the fan, the true comic book fan, you think they'll go with that? Not you, James. You, Mike. The true. Because you got true fans. You think they'll go with that?
I do. I think what they could do is give it time to breathe. So if they have whatever Black Panther movie comes out, like he was working on Black Panther 2 already.
It's supposed to be 2022.
So I'm wondering, like, when, remember Fast and Furious when, when they still, died.
Paul Walker.
Paul Walker.
That's what, his brother stepped in and they did some, CGI and whatnot for him. So I would like to see that. I really would. Before we go here, we all got our picks for Black Panther. Mike right now is like, it's not the time. I get it. I just want to say we had some interesting birthdays, man. Julie Brown had a birthday. Now, it's not the Julie Brown you're probably thinking of. Not that one. Do you remember back in the day when MTV first started and they actually played music? And the shows they did show were like different. They were counterculture shows. Do you remember the comedian with the red hair, Julie Brown? Y'all remember her?
No.
She had a show. Yeah, she actually had a show on there. It was called Just Say Julie. She used to do parody songs.
I had to Google her, man, because I Googled Julie Brown and then Downtown Julie Brown.
Came out. Wubba Wubba. Yeah. But actually, she was one of the first people that I saw on MTV as a VJ.
I didn't know her. No, sir.
Back in the day when they played music, it was actually a music comedy show that she had. She would tell jokes, do little skits, and it was a great show. But it got me reminiscing, man. I remember back in the day when MTV first hit. It was the biggest thing ever. It was like 81, I want to say like that. We could actually watch our favorite artists on TV, and we could watch their videos. Videos were kind of new at that time. And it took me back to kind of some of the things MTV used to play, because right now they don't play any music. They play 14 and Pregnant. Like, that's their moneymaker.
And Jersey Shores.
Jersey Shore, and stuff like that.
Ridiculousness.
But do you remember shows they used to have back then? Do you remember MTV Half Hour Comedy Hour? Do you remember that show? It was hosted by Mario Joyner, the opener for Chris Rock. It was called the MTV Half Hour Comedy Hour. It was actually a stand-up comedy show. They would have people do like 5 minutes, and they would come on. And it was like one of the first things that I actually got to see was stand-up comedy. That was like one of my first brushes with stand-up was that show. It was amazing. Go ahead.
VH1 had what? Stand-up Spotlight hosted by Rosie O'Donnell?
I remember VH1.
That's right.
Only thing I remember from MTV was when Bill Bellamy did his booty call. Movie on MTV. Yeah. No, his special was called Booty Call, but it was on MTV originally, on MTV. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys know, fun fact, the first video that showed on MTV, the first music video?
Was it Michael Jackson Thriller?
Killed a Radio Star?
Nope. Yeah, you got it, James. It was the Buggles. Mm-hmm. Video Killed the Radio Star, August 1st, 1981. How fitting. Because let's face it, before a music video, you look back at some of these bands and everything, and you're like, man, you see them, you're like, that guy's ugly, you know, that, but you could get away because, you know, the common expression was like, that guy calling someone ugly was like, hey, you got a good face for radio, meaning you got a great voice, but nobody wants your face. And then you got all these great songwriters, and it's like, we can't put you in a video because you're ugly. So we're going to hide you in the background playing piano in the shadows, and we'll put on supermodels and water dumped on them. And that's
right.
Sell your album.
So put a lot of lipstick on them.
What was the first rap video ever played on MTV?
Well, I was going to bring up, I don't know what your first rap video was, but I was going to bring up this show that I know you have to be familiar with this show.
Come on, baby. Yo, MTV Raps.
TV Raps. Yes, man. Ed Lover and Dr. Dre.
The original man. Dr. Dre.
It was Jackson. Run DMC Rock Boys.
No, Run DMC Rock Box.
Okay.
That was the first one?
Was the first, I Googled it. Run DMC Rock Box became the first rap video played on MTV. This is a fact disputed by folks who ridiculously get a title Blondie's Video Rapture as the first rap song.
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't.
I thought it was going to be Walk This Way.
No.
I thought it was going to be
Walk This Way was a great crossover, but Rock Box was before that. That was like pure hip hop. So yeah, I just want to take you guys down a little bit of memory lane from MTV. Man, I just remember my childhood was definitely spent watching that,
bro.
Yeah, bro, your MTV rap.
I thought the best basement got better because they would have Big Tigger. Because it started with Rap City or Rap City in the Bay. That's BET. Oh, MTV. Mm-hmm. Okay,
that's BET. That's BET.
I've been drinking, bro. We didn't even have this conversation.
Got it, bro. Alex, at least you smoke that good stuff. But anyway.
Yeah. Mike, where's Fozzie Bear at? See, because I'm messing up because Fozzie Bear ain't behind Mike right now. That's the problem.
There you go.
Fozzie missing, Mike. You need to bring Fozzie back the next
Bring episode. Fozzie back.
We're in contract negotiations. He's asking for too much.
I like it. I like it.
Yo! So
hey, guys.
What's that behind you right now? What is that?
That's a picture.
The black thing. No, it's something black behind. What's the black little? No, other side.
Little black figure on the other side.
What is that?
Oh, this one?
Yeah.
Just a little black bear from North Carolina.
Oh, my state. What's the other thing next to it? What's the next thing next to it? We got to get people watching YouTube.
Yeah, this whole episode just turned into 50-year-old women showing off knickknacks. Like, this was crafted. Okay.
Hey, guys, we get back. We're going to talk a little bit about Ellen DeGeneres. So stay locked here, 104.1. Welcome back, everybody. You still rocking with Real Laughs on 104.1. I'm your host, Mr. James John, joined in virtual studio with Mike Herlihy and Ken Miller. Now, don't forget, you can always go back and you can download all our past episodes on the iHeart app. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and now YouTube. That's right. Go to our YouTube page. We need you guys to like, subscribe, and comment.
And we funny.
We very funny, man. We are.
And Mike, you're making that face, Mike. The snippets that you get for us are really good.
They are.
They're really good.
They are.
Every time I share them, people are like, yo, man, this is so funny, yo. Mainly because I'm in it, but.
Yeah. You talk for 42 minutes, you're at least going to come up with 30 seconds worth of something.
These 30 seconds of good stuff, yo.
Fire. But I wanted to talk about something that I think is funny. Now, last week I reported that Ellen DeGeneres was in trouble because her employees were complaining that her executive producers had made the set into a hostile work environment, right? So Ellen, being the progressive woman that she is, has decided to rectify that situation. She's going to now give her employees some new perks to make the job better. I don't know if you heard about this. Can you hear about this?
No. Please tell me these perks that they're complaining about working on a show with Ellen, the most famous comic in the universe right now.
Yes. So changes lives when you're a guest on her show.
Changes lives. So what is the issue?
She said she is now going to pay people 5 paid days off a year for them to go and do what they want to do. And I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah, wait a minute. I know. It's called vacation, bitch. Like, I know. That's not new, Ellen. You didn't.
Hold on. So they were taking vacation and not getting paid?
I guess not.
Okay. All right. But, like, what else, James? Because you ain't changed my mind yet. Come on. Give me something else to change my mind about Ellen. What else?
If you go to the doctor and you sick and you can't work that day, they'll actually let you take those days and get paid for them. They're going to be calling these days sick days. I know, it's revolutionary. That's right, man. But Ellen's letting you have...
Wait a minute, James. That ain't enough. That ain't
it's
enough.
It's not enough.
I get it. It's still Ellen. What else you got, bro?
Okay, listen. Ellen said, look, around noontime, she notices that all the people, all the staff, the workers and whatnot, they get a little grouchy. They get a little temperamental. So here's what she said they can do. She's going to let you clock out for a half an hour so you can go get something to eat. God dang it. That's right. Ellen's calling it lunch. That's right. You can go out and you can eat food.
First of all, Ellen wrong. Lunch supposed to be an hour.
Hour. So, there you go. Right there.
They need to renegotiate. They need to renegotiate. Lunch supposed to be an hour, bro. You supposed to get 60 minutes for lunch. James, okay, what else you got? Because I'm still on Ellen's side. You gotta convince me, bro.
Ellen is the Steve Jobs of daytime talk shows, because she said one more thing. That's right.
What's she
say? She said she knows that sometimes when you guys drink, you want to have, you know, a beverage, something hot like coffee. So she is going to provide coffee for you guys to drink at work that you can go drink and take a 10-minute break. She's going to call this a coffee break. That's right.
hold up, James. What coffee, though? We get Starbucks or we get Folgers?
Hey, you know what? The best part of working Ellen's show is Folgers in your cup. We're not.
All right, man. Ellen, you got me. I'm back. I'm coming back.
Hey, wait.
I'm coming.
One more thing, Ken. Okay, One more thing.
You had me at the Folgers. You had me at Folgers.
Because when you drink coffee, you know, sometimes it does things to people's, you know, system. She's going to allow you to get up and go to a place where you can use the facilities, and she's going to let you go there for 5 to 10 minutes. She's not going to dock your pay, and we're going to call it a bathroom break. Ellen is like Jesus out here. That's right. She's giving the people gifts.
There we go, guys. I'm not quitting. I'm staying. Ellen, I put my letter under the door. Just rip it up, baby. Just rip it up, Ellen. Ellen, me and Ellen got the same haircut, so we family. Me and
hey, okay, one more thing, though. Because the guys, the executive producers, were so hostile and so volatile towards women in the workplace, there's some new rules they put in place, Ken. From now on, ladies, when you guys get a visit each month from your Aunt Rosie, you are no longer going to be referred to as gross. We're not going to do that anymore. You are not gross. You are just a woman, and that's it. That's what we're going to call you from now on. So, Ellen, thank you for all that you do for your staff. Y'all give it up for Ellen.
Man, Ellen, yeah. I decided I'm going to quit because that's what. Look, Ellen, I was going to stay until you dropped that, Ellen. I was with you, Ellen. That last part, why are we doing women's rights? You let them go to, you let them have lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, now we got to respect the friend. You know, my friend here. Man, never mind. I ain't watching Ellen no more. I'm about to watch Kelly Clarkson's show.
And now if you get pregnant, Ken, they don't fire you. They let you work.
You know, it's so crazy. It's crazy. That story is crazy to me because
it is.
Those people make so much money. Ellen makes so much money that she could really take care of her staff. Like, you could really take care of your staff.
Absolutely.
You could pay them more. You can give them vacations. Yeah. Like, that's either it's greedy to me or it's just ignorance. Either she just don't know.
I think she hired bulldogs in her office, these executive producers, to make them the bad guys so it don't have to be her. Because there always has to be somebody in an authority that's on everybody's ass. And I think that's what those dudes were.
At the end of the day, it's going to be her. It's going to be.
Oh, but she was like, it wasn't me. It was them.
Of course she's going to say that, but it's the Ellen show. So if stuff happened, it's not
Ellen the show, but the executive producer messed this up. It's the Ellen show, so Ellen is the one that's gonna get the blame for it. That's just how it works.
But I guess they're gonna try one more game. They're gonna see if they can make it a non-hostile work environment. Because look, bro, she invented vacation. That's amazing. Yeah. Like, invented it, bro.
You get a whole 30-minute lunch. and you get Folgers. You can get Folgers at Publix right now. Buy one, get one free. So you get
all day.
So there you go.
All day. God bless her, man.
I don't even know, Mike. Do you watch daytime TV? What's your daytime talk show? What you watch?
No, I don't watch much daytime talk show, man. I never seen a full Ellen show. Never really got into the whole Jerry Springer stuff and all that stuff. Maury Povich, always watch the highlights. You know, that's about it.
Here's the thing I've learned about Ellen is the fact that when we were coming up in comedy, we were always trying to get to the Tonight Show or trying to get to David Letterman's show because that's where that's where the needle got moved for your career if you got on those shows. I think Ellen has just systematically changed that. I think people are looking to get on Ellen. That daytime market is huge. And I think Ellen doesn't have a lot of competition in that kind of show that she does. So I think if you get on her show as a comic or as a YouTube person, your career explodes once you've been on Ellen. I think that's the place you want to get.
Like, who's big on daytime? Like, if Ellen was big, Steve Harvey had a big show, but they canceled him, and now Kelly Clarkson has the show now. Well,
I think just coincidentally, it's weird that like Ellen's going through all this stuff and now Drew Barrymore just announced that she's going to have her own daytime talk show because I was thinking who could replace Ellen? And I hate to say it, but Drew Barrymore has that personality of sweetness and kindness and everything else. And if that's what you're looking for daytime, I think Drew Barrymore, especially with her history in Hollywood, I mean, she's been since she was a kid and her family's in the Hollywood family. She's got those connections where I think she can actually pull some celebrities to come and support her.
But, Mike, would you watch Drew Barrymore Shore?
Dude, I work during the day, man. I don't got time for daytime. I don't have time
Mike's
for
like, daytime. I wouldn't watch Drew Barrymore.
No.
I wouldn't watch this show. No, I wouldn't watch Ellen because I think Ellen's funny. Ellen makes me laugh.
She is. And she you know who the... And she, okay. She's like, I call this dance the moonwalk.
But I think Ellen's stealing dances.
Yeah, she's stealing dances.
I came up with this. Like, that's Michael Jackson.
I think it's funny that, like, for a lot of us growing up in the 90s and stuff, gay celebrities that start coming out, I mean, you think about the ones on the list, like Ellen, I think was up there with like, oh my gosh, she's so famous. She had a show and everything. And now she's coming out as gay. I think Rosie O'Donnell came out after her as gay. And then they both had their own talk shows, but they couldn't have been more different in terms of the rumors going around Hollywood. Like the rumors about Rosie going around Hollywood was just that she was mean and very, you know, rude to all her staff. And then you had Ellen over here who was like, everything going around her was like the sweetest.
Yeah.
So, like, my first experience with, you know, celebrities who happen to come out, I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's night and day. You got a little devil over here, a little angel over here. And then to hear all this, that's the crushing part. When she's built her whole career as being this sweet, kind person and then finding out. And part of you knew. It's like, man, you can't be like that 24-7. Nobody's like that 24-7. Yeah. You got to have a dark side, right? And now
you can't be nice all the time.
Yeah. So when you build up your whole career propped on being nice and then just these stories start coming out, it takes a hit, man.
Yeah, because everybody thought she was the, you know, she does that Oprah Winfrey thing where the 12 days of Christmas, I'm giving away free stuff. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like she was that person. And, you know, I work in corporate America, you know what I mean? So I understand that sometimes, you know,
Teresa.
It's brutal.
Hey, Teresa, who do you miss the most? Well, my dad passed away 8 years ago. Well, guess what? We brought him back from the dead. He's here right now, Teresa.
He's here right now, yo.
And he's got something he wants to talk to you about.
That is amazing. Now, I will say this, though, about the whole Ellen thing that we heard about the, you know, her workplace being hostile and whatnot. Yes, you deserve rights. You deserve to be treated, a certain way. Right. You do. But I will tell you, it's not always been my experience working throughout my lifetime to have that. Like, I think we all worked during a time where it was just like, okay, if your boss was a jackass, he was a jackass, and you just dealt with it, man.
You just dealt with it.
And we didn't make half the money those people were making. We just like, all right, man.
But now it's a cancel culture, and you can get somebody fired for being a jackass. Like back in the day, you worked for somebody that was mean. They were just mean. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I'm a military guy, so I was in the military, but I had to deal with that because that was just their nature. It was I had a sergeant that was on me all the time. I'm like, dude, these I can see myself in these boots. They shiny.
Yeah. Yeah,
but he was like, they ain't shiny enough, Miller, Private Miller. But I was a private, so I got beat up for it. So you're going to work some jobs where you get beat down. But
it's no secret that I have no love for Spectrum Cable, right?
I'm
with you on that, Mike.
All week, I'm number two. I've been having cable problems. So the other night, I finally got on the phone with a representative, and I was just going over, like, look, what's going on? They're like, oh, we're doing these shutdowns, and we're working on new stuff. And I'm like, yeah, but these are my productive hours. Like, I do...
Yep.
Work at these hours. They're like, well, maybe if you call your boss and let him know, and you know, a lot of people have been able, the bosses have found blah 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 blah. I'm like, that ain't gonna fly. And I'm like, my boss is an asshole. And they're like, well, maybe if you, I'm like, I work for myself and I don't accept excuses. I don't accept excuses like my internet was out.
Yeah, you think I work for Ellen? Will they let you go have vacation?
Yo, Ellen ain't got Spectrum. Ellen got good internet. She got 50G.
Well,
she
before
got
5G, we
have, she got 50G.
She got 50G. She does. Now, before we go, I want to make sure I let everybody know if you guys are performing this week, so they can definitely come check you guys out. Ken, are you somewhere this weekend?
Man, I'm just selling crack this weekend, baby.
Okay, selling
Nino Brown crack. In the building, yo. Meet me at the car if you're looking for some drugs, family.
Got it. Meet him at the trap. It's going down. All right, OG. Mike, where you at this weekend, brother? Where you performing?
Apparently, I'll be buying crack from Ken this week.
Mike, you ain't got to buy nothing from me. You get crack for free. You my friend.
No, man. That's how you got me hooked the first few times free.
Mike, you raising my kids, bro. I can't give you crack.
That's so funny. I am not anywhere this weekend. Thank you guys for listening to us. As always, we love you. Be sure to tune in tomorrow. Thank you guys on behalf of Real Laughs, Mike Herlihy, Ken Miller, and myself, James John. You guys have a great night.